My task, you know, difficult cholecystectomy or difficult gallbladder is not only acute cholecystitis, but this is the model that I'm going to talk about. I have no disclosures, but sometimes I wish I hadn't. But I'm going to talk to you about the Tokyo guidelines as they stand today. There's a 2018 revision, and the title is Pros and Cons. There are pros. There also are cons. The pros is that clinical guidelines are something that are very useful if they are used. The problem is, even though they're supposed to be recommendations that are intended to optimize patient care, and they are informed, in other words, constructed by systematic reviews of the evidence, as well as the assessment of the benefits and harms of the treatment as well as the alternatives, they are not often adhered to. And that's one of the big problems that we have today. They are well done, but we have to get surgeons to adhere to them. Surgeons are very egoistic persons, and they don't like to be told what to do. Well, the Tokyo guidelines is an idea that's come out of experts in hepatobiliary surgery. The first version was 2007. Then there was a modified, but very consequently modified version in 2013, and then recently 2018. I'm going to talk about the 2013 and 2018 essentially. The four major papers were published in the Journal of Hepatobiliary Pancreatic Science in 2018. Here they are. The first author is from Japan. I will not deal with this last one, which is going to be the subject of the Mori paper, which is going to be the subject of the last talk today. And I'm going to try to analyze the other three papers. Basically, there is, in the diagnostic, as concerns the diagnostic criteria of acute cholecystitis, nothing has been changed. The authors of these papers did not want to change much, at least, as concerns the diagnostic criteria. You're all aware, I'm sure, of the three types of diagnostic criteria: clinical, systemic, and imaging. And the diagnosis of acute cholecystitis is suspected when you have at least one item in of the clinical criteria and one item of the systemic criteria. Definitive or definite diagnosis involves imaging. The next paper, or the other aspect of the Tokyo guidelines, once again, no changes between, or not much changes at least, between 18 and 13, 2018 and 2013, was to grade the severity into three categories called grade 1, 2, 3 from bottom to top. Grade 3 essentially is when you have some sort of organ dysfunction. The six organs that can be involved are listed here. Grade 2, this is called moderate, where you have systemic problems and some clinical problems. And grade 1, or mild, is when the criteria do not meet any of the criteria that we found in 2 and 3. So that leaves us with very little, to be really honest, to define what acute cholecystitis is, except for some fever, some elevated white blood count, but less than 18,000. And the other signs are sort of eliminated by the fact that they're in grade 2 and grade 3. Now, this is one of the problems that I have, at least, with the Tokyo guidelines. I'm not very sure of what exactly they meant by mild acute cholecystitis. Let's go to the guidelines now as concerns, once we have these three grades, what do we do? Okay, let's start with the mild, antibiotics, or early laparoscopic cholecystectomy right away. There is a distinction between what the authors thought would be a low risk or a high risk, which they called a not low risk. I don't know why, but that's what the literature says. And it's based on the Charlson comorbidity index, so I've indicated as CCI. 5 or less being the low risk, 6 or greater being the not low risk. I'll talk about that in detail, because that's another one of the problems that I have. The Charlson comorbidity index was originally a comorbidity-based prognostic classification that was developed to predict mortality within 1 year of hospital admission for patients undergoing breast surgery. And there's been some modifications, but to the best of my knowledge, it has never been really used, at least in the Western part of the world, to evaluate what's going on in an acute situation. I'll go through that a little bit. There have been studies that have looked at the comparisons of the Apache 2 and the SAPS scores, physiological-based scores, and some say that it's equivalent to the Charlson, some say it's not. But once again, nothing has been done for the acute situation. So let me be a little bit critical, but no offense meant. Of the 61 authors of the guidelines, 33 were from Japan. So I'm sorry, I don't want to offend any of the Japanese surgeons here. When voting came, obviously the Japanese had a majority of what to say. So this might be one reason why the Charlson comorbidity index was chosen. It's not, at least in my practice, it's not something that we use very often, especially if we're acute situations like acute cholecystitis. Okay, let's go to grade 2. Now, grade 2, you can see that there are antibiotics for everybody. And then here we have some words that we have to point out. Advanced laparoscopic cholecystectomy, technique available. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a little bit more detail because it requires some sort of definition. If we have that, according to the guidelines, an urgent or early laparoscopic cholecystectomy can be performed. However, when we have a problem with the Charlson comorbidity index or the American Association of Anesthesiologists scores being class three or greater, then we have the option of either a delayed cholecystectomy or a drainage procedure that we'll hear about in a little while, eventually, not always, followed by a laparoscopic cholecystectomy. Now, we have some problems here as well that I have to go through. So, even if they say that a laparoscopic cholecystectomy should be ideally performed as soon as possible, if the CCI and the American, the ASA scores suggest that the patient can withstand surgery, if not, the patient, they say that the laparoscopic cholecystectomy should be performed in that situation. If it is not, in other words, if the patient cannot, or it's decided that the patient cannot withstand surgery, some other option has to be considered, either conservative treatment and biliary drainage, and we'll talk about that in a while. Now, this is where I have some problems. They also say that when the symptoms have lasted for more than 72 hours, cholecystectomy should not be performed. But 72 hours is one of the definitions of grade 2. So for me, that's sort of like a contradiction that I can't really come up with any answer for. There is also a randomized controlled trial out of Lausanne that looked at whether you could be performing a cholecystectomy, a laparoscopic cholecystectomy, when symptoms have lasted for more than 72 hours. And they came out with a very clear paper and results saying that, yes, it can be done, and it's still called early. And this was a paper that was published in Annals of Surgery 2016, And the Canadian evidence-based group reviewed this paper, and they gave it a very favorable review. And the conclusions were that early laparoscopic cholecystectomy for acute cholecystitis, even beyond 72 hours of symptoms, is safe and was associated with less overall morbidity, shorter hospital stay, and duration of antibiotic therapy, as well as reduced costs. I like to think, as you see on the bottom, some of these patients had comorbidity, but the Charlson score was very low, as well as the ASA being less than 2. Okay, there are other situations also. Several studies have shown that early laparoscopic cholecystectomy is better than late in the elderly, when the CCI is greater than 3, and when the ASA is equal to 3 or greater. So this is not a steadfast rule, or at least to me, does not seem to be a steadfast rule that we can apply in every case. What I'm going to get to, and I'll conclude with that as later, is that one size does not fit all. So let's go to grade 3 now. Grade 2, the flowchart gets very complicated. And once again, we see some words that need defining or refining. We talk about if there's an advanced center and a good a performance status of the patient, we can go to early laparoscopic cholecystectomy. And if not, either poor performance status or the existence of what we call negative predictive factors or factors that are, let's say, reversible organ failure that I'll talk about in a few minutes, other options are possible or should be performed, as a matter of fact. But what about the ordinary center? Where does the ordinary center fit in? Ordinary centers, I'm sure most of the people in this room come from ordinary centers, perhaps not called an advanced center. And what should we be doing? Should we be doing cholecystectomy as well? Well, I think yes. I'm going to talk about it. So if laparoscopic cholecystectomy in grade 3 is recommended with strict criteria, and these considered, as I said, favorable organ failure and negative predictive factors, we have to look at what they are. And what is an advanced center? I really don't know. I don't know how to design it. And another thing, another problem that I have is that the cutoff limit, which was 5 or less for a low risk and 6 and greater for a high risk in grades 1 and 2, now suddenly is down to grade 3. A CCA, which is now at the limit of 3. So I have some problems with that. Let me go into that a little bit. The favorable organ system failure, which was defined as cardiovascular or renal failure, rapidly reversible after admission, is also part of the Charlson Comorbidity Index. But if you look at it, myocardial infection, I don't know how that can be reversible. And chronic renal or kidney disease, I'm not so sure that I don't know how to reverse that as well. So for me, first of all, these two factors are being counted twice. And second of all, I'm not so sure that we can talk about reversible or favorable organ system failure. I have the problems understanding what they mean. Now, there was a question of future research, which was proposed as well, when they said that for grade 1 and 2, in other words, mild and moderate, with the scores that you see here, proposal was that these negative predictive factors could intervene in the decision of whether you're or not you're doing a laparoscopic cholecystectomy or a drainage procedure. And the drainage procedure, of course, for grade 3 was the preference. Now, I do have problems here. I have problems why they changed the CCI. It's not explained, or at least it's not explained in a satisfactory way in the papers that I have cited and continue to cite. For me, these restrictions are a little bit too restrictive. One size does not fit all. We cannot, the cholecystectomy is not just 1, 2, and 3. It's not like that. There's a range of disease, there's a range of severity that we have to take into consideration, and the Tokyo guidelines unfortunately puts that into strict categories, and as I said before, one size does not fit all. Laparoscopy is really safe in patients that have a high CCI, in the elderly, or people with end-stage renal disease, even people with a perforated ulcer, which is a major surgery as well, and even has been shown to be possible in high-risk patients undergoing cholecystectomy for acute cholecystitis. So the operation based on severity granting here with delayed cholecystectomy being put forward for me, as well as for other authors, is not justified. The recommendations for conservative management and delayed cholecystectomy in grades 2 and 3 are not always, I would add, always warranted. So in conclusion, I think that indications based on 1, 2, 3, or one size fits all, needs further reflection. I think that we have to integrate the SOFA score as well into have some sort of an acute physiological score if we want to really have a clear picture of what's going on in acute cholecystitis. I think we have to define the epicenter of inflammation. It's not the same operation, and for instance, when we have a bailout situation, if you have inflammation of the entire gallbladder, or just the fundus, or just the infundibulum, it's not the same operation, it's not the same difficulty. We'll hear about that, I'm sure, from other authors. And then there's no prohibitive, really cutoff value of what is a prohibitive surgical risk for acute cholecystitis. I'm open to the question, and I hope that we're going to have some ideas about that. And last but not least, for me, there's an apparent paradox. We all are teachers, and we teach how to deal with cholecystectomy. We teach how to deal with cholecystitis, the difficult gallbladder, and we all teach how to perform a successful and safe operation. But are we all experts and experienced working in an advanced facility or specialized center? No. Otherwise, there would be no one in the audience, and I thank you for your attention.